Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. It's Wednesday of Easter week here at Basic Gospel, and of course, you know what the ministry is. It's a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, for Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley today, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a question, if you have issues you'd like to discuss, we'll welcome your calls right now at 844-322-2742. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Call now, because this is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are celebrating the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're going to write a story and it's going to be a good news story, you're unlikely to start the story with the death of the main character. But it's interesting, that's how the good news starts, with the death of Jesus Christ. But when we look at what that accomplished, what Jesus accomplished in shedding his blood once and for all, we can recognize the goodness and the benefits that it gives us. And Andrew, we're going to talk about that here at the top of the broadcast. And I want to lead off with this particular verse, and it's Hebrews 10:12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that really ties in with his victory cry from the cross, that it is finished. And when we really understand what that means, and we understand the benefits of that sacrifice, man, it changes our lives forever, doesn't it?
It does. You know, first, you got to say, why did he sit down? Well, it was a beautiful picture of what nobody before him could do. Not a single priest could sit down on the job. It says in Hebrews 10 that they were always standing. They were always standing, offering the same sacrifices over and over again. Another bull, another goat, always a repeat needed, day after day, year after year. But when this priest, Jesus Christ, had made one sacrifice for all time, he sat down. So we're forgiven for all time. And that brings me to the first benefit, a forgiveness like no one had ever experienced before. It's called once for all forgiveness. That means that your past, your present, and your future sins were all taken away by the cross. So get this now, if you truly understand this, then your next sin is already forgiven. I mean, that's incredible. It's controversial, and yet it's powerful. And many Christians, we just don't realize it, that God looked at the timeline of our sins, and he took them all away. He remembers them no more. He removed them as far as the east is from the west. Somebody says, okay, but if I'm that forgiven, if I'm forgiven even for my next sin, then I'm just going to end up doing whatever I want. And to that I would say, well, here's the second benefit of the gospel. He changed what you want. You don't want to sin anymore. I know it feels like you do. I know you get the thoughts. I get the thoughts. We all get the thoughts. But the question is, what does your heart want? And you'll notice that in this same chapter, he's saying he's going to write his desires on our hearts and on our minds. We're going to have our sins remembered no more. I mean, that's what the new covenant is. It's not just forgiveness. It's a change of heart. He took out your heart of stone, gave you a new heart. So look, what I'm saying is you can afford to be totally forgiven, because God has changed your wants. And speaking of benefits, I mean, I don't think, Bob, that we really discover what we truly want until we're in an atmosphere of freedom. We got to be under God's grace, and that's the other big benefit of this finished work. He put us under his grace so that we wake up every day and we say, God, I know your love will never change, your acceptance will never change, your forgiveness will never change. I'm forgiven and loved and accepted, so what do I want to do today? And it's only in that environment of freedom that we really discover our true desires. So guys, I mean, I could go on and on, but some of the big benefits of this new covenant, some of the big benefits of the finished work of Christ is that the forgiveness issue is over. Your sins have been dealt with. You're living as a new-hearted, new creation with all new desires at the core, and you're living in this beautiful atmosphere of freedom with Christ, His life living in you. That's enough. He'll inspire you. He'll motivate you. So when Jesus said it is finished, boy, a lot got finished, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I love what the writer of Hebrews says, by that one offering, he has made us holy once and for all. And, you know, that just really answers the forgiveness issue, doesn't it? I mean, he's not going to make us holy if we're unforgiven. And so this sacrifice was just huge. And if there's one thing that I think you and I would really want Christians to know, is this forgiveness issue is finished. It's done. It's over. You are a forgiven person. And that really opens a door to experience everything that God has for you, to really grab hold of this life and live it to the full. And we've seen so many people struggle in their Christian experience because they don't understand the finished work of Christ.
Yeah, so we're saying, can you graduate from day one? Can you graduate from Friday? Agree with God about Friday. Agree with Him about the cross. And then take a look at Sunday. I mean, take in the resurrection. Here we are on, you know, here comes this weekend where we celebrate the greatest events in all of human history, and you don't want to stop at the cross. I mean, you don't want to be wrestling with, did the cross work for the rest of your life? You want to say, no, the cross was a grand success. My sins are gone, and now I'm asking God, hey, what does it mean to have resurrection life?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is a wonderful point, and that's kind of the real the real end of salvation, that we have been saved by the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, that He gave us His very life to enjoy here and now and forevermore.
Absolutely.
That is the good news, and that's why we can celebrate the death of Christ, because we know without the death of Christ there would be no resurrection, and if there's no resurrection, there's no life for you and for me.
That is for sure. Yeah. Thank you, Bob and Andrew. Andrew Parley, of course, joining Bob Christopher and me on this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to join us at 844-322-2742, and that number good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, the observance of Easter, Resurrection Day, is a most proper time to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us, and you can make that happen by making a generous gift to keep His message going forward. And we sincerely thank those of you who have made that possible through the months and years. If you're new to this broadcast, we urge you to keep listening as well. And if you are like the countless people that we've met along the way and heard from through the years, well, God's word will do its work in your heart as well. Perhaps that's already begun. And if that's true, we ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry and this message with a celebration of Easter gift to Basic Gospel. And as you make that gift, request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. It's a wonderful study that Bob Christopher has put together, and it's our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Once again, the lines are open. We want to hear from you at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. That's the number. We want to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, we had a great question that came into us late on the broadcast yesterday, and we weren't able to get to it. But the question was this: what do I do when I mess up? What's going to happen when I mess up? And I think that's a question that a lot of people ask, and I think a lot of people will be interested in the answer. So what will happen when we mess up, and what should we do when we mess up?
Yeah, well, the first thing is we got to distinguish lifeless religion from the gospel. Lifeless religion says you're going to have to beg and plead and hope and wait for more forgiveness, maybe some new feeling that you're seeking. Maybe it's a feeling of being cleansed, a feeling of being forgiven. I kind of liken it to the Hunger Games idea where the parachutes come down out of heaven and give you a gift package of cleansing for that day. And that's just not the gospel. As we just emphasized, the forgiveness we have is once for all. So if you have once for all forgiveness and you mess up, then what's the logical thing to do? Well, say thank you. Start with, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you died for all my sins, including this one. I messed up. I was wrong. I want you to show me how to think differently and act differently. I look to you for your counsel. I count myself dead to this thought and alive to you. But when it comes to forgiveness, I've got nothing left to do but say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed for me so that I could be a totally forgiven person. So, number one, sure, we acknowledge wrongdoing, but then we've got to do something about it, so to speak. And I think what we have to do is thank God for the cross, because that's an incredible miracle by which we've been cleansed forever. And then, you know, Romans 6 says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. So there's a choice we make for the next time. We say, you know, I remember where that got me. I remember where that took me. And I don't want anything to do with that. It doesn't fulfill me. It doesn't bring me contentment. It doesn't work for me. I'm going to count myself allergic to sin and addicted to Jesus. He's my secret to contentment. So, Bob, I think people get confused on this because there's a world of difference between the biblical idea of turning from sin and saying no to sin and rejecting sin versus this unbiblical idea of having to hope and wait and beg and plead and ask if maybe God will forgive me, because that programs our conscience to basically wait for a feeling. And what we should be doing instead is setting our minds on the finished work of Christ, saying, thank you that I'm a forgiven person, but also thank you that I'm not made for sin, and I'm looking to you in dependency and trust for you to show me a new and better way to live.
Yes, indeed. Well, I hope the person that asked that is listening today, and I know that's going to be a benefit for those who are listening today. And again, it gets back to what Jesus accomplished at the cross.
Yes.
And we can truly rest in that. We can truly rest in his finished work. We had another similar question that came to us from one of our YouTube viewers. Sharon says this, I don't want to sin, and I know it's wrong to gamble, but I still go to the casinos. And I think we could put in anything in that space for gamble. And, you know, a lot of people would be saying the same thing. I know this is wrong, but I still give into it time and time again. Help. What do I do?
Yeah.
How do I break free from that habit?
Well, yeah, I think we have to look at this from the love and the wisdom of God, that standpoint, that perspective. So, first, there's a reason the casino is ginormous. There's a reason the casino is, you know, 200,000 square feet with gold this and gold that. That's because the casino is winning and people are losing. So you look at that and you say, all right, God, give me wisdom. Give me counsel. And sure, I think there's an incredible amount of freedom in the Christian life. But at the same time, God has given you his spirit to warn you and counsel you away from things that can be addictive, things that can be harmful. And, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg here. I mean, you've got physical addictions, chemical addictions. You know, you've got all kinds of things that you might chalk up to be the deeds of the flesh. We could examine all of that and worry about all the different flavors of flesh that might attack us. But at the end of the day, the simple answer is, hey, do I believe Jesus has got me here? Why do I keep going back in this addiction to the casino over and over and over? Because I think I'm going to win. I think I'm going to win big this time. Oh, it'll be different this time. And I keep losing and losing and losing. And maybe my spouse or my family, they worry about me. My friends, they wonder about me. And I start to wonder, am I out of control? Am I addicted here? Could I stop? Well, apparently I can't stop. So, you know, the answer to that is not more analysis. The answer is, do I believe that Jesus Christ has my future, that he has my present, and do I believe that he will never leave me and never forsake me? Because, you know, Ephesians actually makes this connection, Bob. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 13, keep your lives free from the love of money, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So that's the focus. The focus is not, oh, thou shalt not gamble, or thou shalt not this, thou shalt not. That's not a healthy focus. The focus is, I've got a God who's got me. He's protecting me, loving me, taking care of me. I can trust him, and he is enough. That's my focus.
Yes, indeed. Hope that helped, Sharon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for posing that question.
844-322-2742. If you'd like to pose a question, we'd like for you to do it right now. We have open lines for you, 844-322-2742. Bob, on Monday's broadcast, we had a question from Dan, and it was, is everyone forgiven whether or not they repent and believe? Dan today wrote, and he said, on the whole, it sounded like you were teaching easy believism. All we need to do is realize Jesus paid it all, and we just need to believe it. No repentance or asking forgiveness required. He goes on to say, this is so not the case. Repent and believe, and the gospel is what Jesus said. Of course, that was at the beginning of his ministry. Your teaching sounded like once he had paid the price for the sins of men, the repenting part was no longer necessary. Maybe you weren't teaching that, but it sure sounded like it. That's from Dan.
Yeah, well, certainly we don't teach that the whole world is saved, or that the whole world is in Christ, or that the whole world has their sins taken away, because at the end of the age, there's a group that's judged. Revelation 20, they're judged, the books are opened, and they are judged according to their deeds, it says. Well, if their deeds were all taken away and remembered no more, then they wouldn't be judged for them. It doesn't make any sense. So we adamantly believe that a person must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And for decades, we have taught that 1 John 1:9 is written to an unbeliever so that they will come to their senses, admit their sinfulness, turn from their unbelief. And when they do, God will forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. So that's written to somebody. I mean, you know, John didn't write that verse to nobody. He wrote it to unbelieving people who were rejecting the idea that they were sinners. And so it's absolutely important that we turn from unbelief, repent from unbelief in, nothing, and turn toward belief in Christ and put our confidence in him. But after that happens, when a person calls upon the Lord, we have got to be clear that they are saved. And in being saved, they are forgiven of how much? Of all unrighteousness. Forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. So, you know, what we proclaim in the finished work of Christ is that the believer is absolutely in possession of eternal life, not temporary life, that the cross was sufficient to take away all sins for all time for that person. So we have to play both sides of this. Let's talk about people who are in Adam, and let's be precise. They're dead, and they need life, and they need forgiveness. But once you're transferred into Christ, can we be adamant? Can we be clear about that too? We've got life. What kind? Eternal life, not temporary. We've got forgiveness. What kind? Well, forgiveness for all, not some, but all. And so, guys, I think, you know, it might be difficult for some to understand, because quite frankly, this isn't being taught across the Christian airwaves with clarity, but we're here saying there's a world of difference between being in Adam and in Christ, and yes, you call upon him, and after you do, he does what he promised to do. He actually saves you.
That's exactly right. And in that calling upon the name of Jesus, in that believing in the name of Jesus, repentance is baked into that. I mean, that's a part of the process. I mean, you've lived life and you thought life was out there in the world, and you've come to a point and say, man, I am just empty inside. I'm just miserable. This has gotten me nowhere. Everything that I've latched on to has just made things worse, has just compounded the problem. I'm a mess. I'm just a total mess. And then somebody loves you enough, or somehow you hear that Jesus has died for your sins, that Jesus was raised so that you could have eternal life. And you think, hey, I'm going to trust Jesus. And so just in that trusting Jesus, in that turning to Jesus, you're automatically turning away from the world, turning away from that old life that you used to live, and saying, hey, I'm going to receive Jesus. So repentance is baked into that. And, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was steaming on the inside, just as angry as a man can get, and just ready to persecute anybody who named the name of Christ. And then he is stopped dead in his tracks, and he hears from Jesus, who are you persecuting? And everything changed at that moment. I mean, he saw the plan of God for salvation standing right in front of him. His name was Jesus. And at that moment, he left everything in Judaism, left everything that he deemed important, and said, hey, life is right here. And that's what this belief is all about, isn't it? It is recognizing that Jesus Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus Christ came that we might have life, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. I didn't know any of that before I heard the gospel message. But when I heard the gospel message, I recognized, hey, Jesus has everything that I'm looking for. He has everything that I need. He is everything that I need, and I immediately just turned to him and trusted him, and in that is repentance.
Yeah, and I don't think we should shy away from saying, you know, there is believism and there is this notion of easy. I mean, Jesus is saying that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. So let's not make this into something difficult that involves me jumping through five hoops and me committing to a certain level of activity for 50 years until I hit heaven or anything of that sort. This word repentance can be confusing for a lot of people, but when you pivot away from the old way and you say, I want Jesus as my way, well, there you have it. He's your life. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. When you call upon the Lord, you assume he has the power and authority to save you. You're ditching the world and you're saying, I want Christ. And in that, as you said, I love it. It's baked in. Repentance is baked into that. So, we have to see that there's an incredible thing that Jesus has done for us. It was only hard in that it took humility for us to say, I can't do this. Only Jesus can, and I'm going to let him. But as far as salvation itself, we're told that it's a gift. It's not of ourselves. We can't brag about it. It's easy and light, not burdensome, and we can thank Jesus for that.
Yeah, and that's a point of repentance as well, isn't it? We used to think we had to earn God's love and acceptance, and now we change our mind of that and simply receive the free gift.
Amen.
And that's good news. Well, Andrew, thank you as always for being a part of Basic Gospel. We love when you're on, and we really appreciate your keen insights into the Word of God and into this fabulous gospel message that we all celebrate every single day, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we want you, our listeners, to take a rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ as well.
Absolutely, and thank you for being with us today, everybody. Please remember that we have a great resource we'd like to send to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift to keep the message of Resurrection Day going forward. And your gift is a great way to say thanks for what Jesus has done for us through that resurrection. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written by Bob Christopher to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest. And we'll send you a copy, as I said, to say thank you for your celebration of Easter gift through Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our genuine thanks to our friend Andrew Parley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.